Yo, yo, what up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Ya Estás Podcast. Yes, sir. And over here with my brother, Lamont. Yo, what up, Lamont? How you doing, my
familia,
man?
Familia, familia, long time. Let's go.
Let's get it. Yo, today it's going to be crazy. I know I say amazing. That all the time, bro, but it's just God has been blessing us with amazing people. And today...
heavy hitters.
Today is a heavy one, yo. And he's not going to admit it, you know, because his humble heart, but it's all Gucci. But, you know, his testimony and his story is going to tell us about his heart. So I want you all to welcome our brother, a pastor, even though he doesn't like to be called pastor.
But, I was going
to
ask you that.
Hey, but let's give it up to Los, bro. Los.
Hey, como están todos, bro? Hey, thank you guys so much, man. Thank you guys for having me. It's such an honor, really. Such a true honor and such a true blessing to be here and just share from what I've learned.
That you know part. What I mean? That part.
I'm gonna say this right now. Everything you hear from me is not me. It's things I read from a book. It's things that I've read from a podcast. I'm gonna just be pulling it all out, bro.
Are you trying to say everything you're gonna say? They're bars from somebody else.
Yeah, bro, for sure, bro.
Borrow bars. That's a new word right there. No, but man, I just want to share something real quick. The first time I met you, bro, you impacted me like heavy. This is gonna stick with me for the rest of my life. I remember you were talking, you went to Spiritual Homeboys, you sat through a meeting, you're just sitting there, you know, just listening, didn't say a word, even though you're a pastor, but you're just like, you were there as a student, right? And then we were talking about Fearless, this is like the beginning stages of the congregation actually starting, right?
Is that like a year ago?
No, October, bro. Yeah. October of last year.
Less than a year.
So I, what's that, like maybe 7 months?
So Fearless has been less than a year?
Like 9 months, algo así.
I think when you went to Spiritual Homeboys, did you already have your first service or not?
No, when I went to Spiritual Homeboys, that next Sunday was going to be our first one. At the collab.
At the collab, right? But something that you said, man, it was like, whoa, I've never heard anybody say that. You said, right now, the church is small enough that we have the luxury. He said luxury, yo, to disciple people one-on-one. Like, who says that, man? Because everybody's always looking at the numbers, right? It's like, oh, you know, I'm a pastor at a church. Oh, yeah? ¿Cuántos?
Yeah, how many you have?
Yeah.
How many members you got? That's the first thing that comes up, right? But you said, no, like, to me, it's a luxury that I can build with people. So,
bro, that's what I see, bro. That's what I see. When I see people around you, they all feel like they have a personal friendship.
Right.
Personal moment with you. And you guys, you know, there's that openness. That's fire.
You know what I wish was the norm? When you meet other pastors, that they ask, how many disciples go to your church?
Oh.
Right? Because the Great Commission says, go out and make disciples. It doesn't say, go out and build a church. It don't say, go out and make sure the pews are all filled. We get that wrong. That's human metrics. That makes you guys think I'm successful. If there's 500 people going to Fearless SD, all of a sudden, that makes you guys think, oh, bro, Pilos must be doing something good. Damn. You know what's God's metrics? How many disciples? Go out and make disciples. So I wish the norm was, hey, how many disciples are going to your church?
Is that what you pray for?
I pray that God keeps me healthy, bro. Spiritually, mentally. I pray that he keeps me focused on the right things.
Mira? It's fire, bro.
Because I'll duplicate who I am, not what I say.
Hey. Say that again?
I'll duplicate who I am, not what I say. I might say the right things. I might say what's nice and, you know, I read the Bible so I know what to say, right? But I won't replicate that. I'll replicate what I do and how I live.
Jeez. That part.
So
action.
So my prayer is, God, help me keep loving my wife. Help me keep loving my kids. If I do that right, I'll duplicate that. Help me keep loving people.
Yeah.
Help me keep pouring out.
All right.
You know that word when God says, hey, come to me, I want to, and he calls out the disciples? That word, disciples, translated how it was meant to be translated, actually means, you see me, you know me, you follow me.
Oh, man.
That scares me.
That's okay. Right.
How can people, okay, Apostle Paul, right? He says, follow me as I follow Christ, right? Mm-hmm. How can people follow him if he doesn't give access to people?
Oh.
And we got a bunch of pastors not giving access to the people they pastor.
I think they take their job way too serious, the position way too serious. And it is serious, but it's not serious enough to push people out.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he meant, right? The luxury of keeping it small, that means you cannot disciple anybody from far away.
Bro.
You need connection. You need to have them there. They need to see you with your family, see you with the people around you. That's what made me fall in love with my friends, that they're open, right? So if your pastor can be your friend, you don't like being called pastor.
No.
And I've noticed, bro, I've noticed that people that don't like that position name is because they see themselves like away from that. They don't want that title. They don't want that in their resume.
I'm afraid of that calling, yo.
Oh, 100%.
I'm afraid of that calling.
I was talking to someone earlier, and they were saying, like, dude, how does it feel being a pastor? Like, hey, yeah. ¿Cómo se siente? Like, you know, how is it? And I told them, never be envious with what I have to carry.
That was me when I was young in the faith, bro. Obviously, I'm immature. I lacked discipleship, you know, because I didn't get saved at a church. I got saved in my bedroom, yo.
Yeah.
That's where the Espíritu Santo showed up. So no one was teaching me, right? So I started going to church, and then, like, I started to get boastful, bro. Like, oh, I can have his job. I can do that. Until I learned, bro, the responsibility, ahorita le saco. I'm like, no, Father, please do not call me for that. Because that's just like, I'm fearful of that calling because I know the responsibility. Well, I slightly know because I don't live it. But by his word and obviously his spirit lets me know that. But I want to share something real quick. Another story that was impactful. Our boy here, Chris, behind the boards, behind Chris, the sound. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to take a picture of you, bro, and then I'm gonna edit it on the video.
Yeah. Everybody's going to be wondering, hey, who's this guy, Chris, man?
Bro.
But,
single.
Single ready to.
Hey,
single
ready to. This comes out. Watch out, bro.
Hey, is there any roots out there? Any roots out there?
We got your boy ass over here. Your boy ass. No, but he's behind the coffee bar doing his thing. I go, hey, what's up, bro? You know, hook me up with a coffee, Simon. And we're chopping it up. I said something. I forgot where I was coming from. I was coming from an event. And then I threw, like, a Christian word to say like that, right? And he was like, huh? Well, what does that mean, dude? It's like, I was like, oh, it means this. He's like, yeah, I'm just new to the faith. I was like, oh, okay. Oh, my bad, bro. I didn't mean that. And then he starts telling me about a story, how he came here, how, you know, a little bit about his background, his family and all that. And then He said, yeah, bro, it's just, you know, love. Oh, he was telling me about not having a father, right? And I said, yeah, man, that's important because, you know, you need to, in order to see God as your father, you have to have, like, if you don't have a dad, at least a spiritual father, right? Someone who can show you what it's like. And he said, yeah, bro, like, Los, you know, he, did you teach him? Teach him how to drive or something? No.
No.
But he said something like, I can't remember right now. Do you? What did you say, Chris? You remember or no? You said something that he...
No, he,
like,
he drives better than me.
He said something about you putting, like, pretty much putting him under your wing.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And guiding
him. Known him for a minute.
Well, let's stay on this Chris topic because I love it. He actually moved down. This is what's crazy, bro. He moved down from Los Angeles with his boy Dylan, thinking they were going to build a business. Little did he know that first he was going to help build the church.
Did you get Chris?
He moved down still not knowing, like, the faith, still not knowing God, still not knowing. And he'd come to our services, bro, and little by little, God started chopping away in his heart, bro. But he moved down not knowing that he was going to build a church.
Wow.
Yeah.
He said last week, he goes, man, I want to speak in tongues. For him to say that, I'm like, okay. Tiene hambre de Dios. Bro, yeah. When didn't you feel that calling to become a pastor? Let's stay on that. Like, so when did you have that encounter with Jesus? And then when did you know that God was calling you to ministry, to pastor? Because like you said, nobody desires.
Yeah.
Well, how did that happen?
So, okay. You had two questions, right?
Yeah.
When did I, like, fall in love with God and all that? I grew up in church. My mom and dad, they met at a church. So we, like, grew up knowing the ways of God and all of that. But I was in my own lane, you know what I mean? Like I was going through my own stuff and just trying to figure out life. And then I remember, dude, this is how bad I was, bro. So I used to get, like, I used to get drunk a lot of nights of the week. I used to sneak out, get drunk. There was times that I would show up to church still tipsy or hungover, and I'd play bass like that.
Good. Wow.
Yeah. Wild. So then I went to this missions trip. I don't know why. Well, probably to see if I could get girls or something. You know what I mean? So I went on this missions trip.
For all the wrong
trip.
Reasons.
Yes. Yeah. And we were going to go to Panama. And before that, they had, like, this big thing because this, like, we had a sending gathering and they were going to send people to Africa, to, you know what I mean, Asia, to, you know, South America, all over. And they talk about the prodigal son. And bro, like, trust, bro, I've heard all the sermons, right? But there was something different. There was something different about the conviction of the guy that was speaking that just made me lean in. This is why I always say, it doesn't matter. It's not about what you say, it's about what you carry. Two people may say the same thing, but what is it that they carry? Do they carry the anointing? Do they carry the Holy Spirit with them? Because that's what will change people. There's times where I could speak all day, but if it's my words, it'll be head knowledge. If it's God's words, heart knowledge.
Yes.
And in that moment, bro, all I could say this, God met me. God came to me and said, it's time. So I felt God, I felt the Holy Spirit, and I felt him say, hey, stop playing with my name. Stop playing with me. It's time to come back home.
You cool.
Yeah, you know, mas, bro, I just started crying. And I was a hard dude, right? Like, you know, I would never show emotion. I would never, you know what I mean? Show who I really was. And then through that, I just fell in love with God, bro, to the point I couldn't let go of the Bible, couldn't let go of his word, bro. I was so in love. I was so in love to get to know God's nature. I think that's what God means when he says, come back to your first love.
Yeah.
Like, come back to where, like, all you could think about was me. It's like in marriage, right? So this is what happens, right? Me and my wife, when we're dating, bro, it's almost like we got no responsibilities in life. Now, fast forward, I got the 4-year-old son, 2-year-old daughter, 11-month-old baby. We're planning a church. Jobs here, jobs there, pastoring this, pastoring that. We allow busyness to get into the way of our communication. We live together, but are we just roommates, right? We're around each other, but are we satisfied with just being around? Or is there a deeper meaning of like, no, I want to continue to get to know you? And I think that's what God says when he says, hey, come back to your first love. Are we still getting to know God, even though we may know a lot about him? I said this analogy to the leaders last Sunday. I was like, look, a lot of you may know that Amanda loves her kids because you see, but all you see is maybe tops, 6 hours during the week. I know because I have seen while she's frustrated how she deals with them. I've seen how she, when she's stressed out, how she still loves them and cares for them. I see the nights when we hear our 11-month-old, how quick she gets up and how she'll stay up and cuddle with him. When they're sick, I see all that. So there's a different level of knowing that I have. A lot of us feel like we know God because we read the Bible for 5 minutes.
He's born.
But only those that spend time in the presence of God day in, day out, searching him, those are the ones that know God,
bro. There's a big difference.
Huge difference, bro.
Paul knew the scriptures.
Yeah.
He knew the scriptures. Yeah. Paul, he says, I'm the Hebrews of Saul.
You mean Saul?
Paul, the Apostle Paul.
But you're saying before he became Paul?
Yeah, before.
So like Saul, this is before Paul. Saul.
So he said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees.
Yeah.
I'm the OG of OGs. I'm a triple OG, homie.
But when he saw Jesus.
Yeah. Everything changed.
Everything changed.
Yeah. Because he saw him and he got to know him at a deeper level. Don't forget, once he saw him, ¿qué pasó? Bro, he was blind and then he got discipled.
Bernabé, disciple de Juan.
A lot of people just see that and they're like, oh, dude, this is the guy that wrote half of the New Testament. No, hold on. First he got discipled.
Then.
Just because we know God don't mean that all of a sudden, hey, I'm going to go out. No, get discipled.
100%.
There's a key there. You know what I mean? So in that same way, going back to the story, I started to get to know God in a personal way.
You came back. What did your parents say?
What's funny is that they didn't know who I was before until I gave my testimony at church, like a couple months later.
So you behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Here it is, Mom.
Dude.
But she knew. She knew, but she probably didn't say nothing, right? Or what do you think?
I don't know, bro.
Mom got that instinct, bro.
I'll say this. There were so many times I'd walk in the door and I could hear my mom praying for us.
Yeah.
At like 4 a.m., 5 a.m.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, man. Bro, I'd be gone all night. Yeah. And I could hear my mom praying and it would break my heart. And then I'd be like, God, never again. And the next day I forget, you know? Yeah. I'm back at it. You know, but God literally arrested me, bro. He arrested me and he took me in. And then from that moment, I was in this journey, bro, of like finding out. So then fast forward, you know, from that point, that was like my junior, senior year of high school. And so that was like in 2006. So yeah, 18 years, bro. 18 years. And then I started just letting God direct my steps, you know? I ended up moving down to Fearless in Los Angeles a year before we planted the church through God's word. I went to go visit what was going on. And at the time when I went to go visit, there was nothing going on. What's funny is a lot of the people were actually out traveling because Pastor Jeremy, our our lead pastor, Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Christy, they were out traveling, like having speaking engagements, and a lot of people were out there too. So I went, I was like, oh, bro, like, what a week to come. No hay nadie, you know? So I met with a couple people that were part of the church. We went to different churches because, I mean, we didn't have anything for ourselves. And I was like, man, this just feels like family, bro. Never felt this in a church. And then we went to a night service somewhere. And I remember asking God, like, dude, God, I'd love to be a part of this, but I need your word. Because I know planning a church is going to be hard, and I don't want to dip out.
True.
I need your word because I know that's going to sustain me. And I felt in my spirit, I felt him say, like, hey, everything you've been going through has been preparing you for this moment. This is going to be your home. In 1 month's time, I moved down.
Wow. Bro, did you ever question, like, after sowing? We were just talking downstairs. Like, I'm not going to share too much about it. But, you know, I had a sense of you sow. And then the harvest, a lot of people get fatigued and they can't wait for the... One time I asked the Lord, Lord, why do people walk away from you? And they said, because they sow and they don't wait for the harvest.
Ooh.
And I was thinking the whole time, like when you were saying that, man, bro, I get your vibe, bro, because those praying nights, you don't see change. You don't see change. And you keep sowing and sowing and sowing, but then the Lord surprises you, bro.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're surprised or you feel like, oh, I knew this was coming. But, bro, I see an atmosphere. I see a vibe over here. I see that that this place is for everybody. And that's what it should be,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I see everybody comfortable. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know what God's going to do. But if we keep sowing, that I feel like this is your harvest, man. That's what I feel right now. When you were saying, I feel like this is your harvest. Sometimes, okay, it's a small, and we might think, oh, only this, Lord, but no, because you've been sowing.
Well, you've been sowing. Something that you said it also is that however many people in your congregation, you should be good with that, right? Because it's not about what you want, it's about what God is putting in your hands.
What I've learned is the smaller the congregation, I don't want to say easier, but
not
it's easier to manage.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now that it's getting bigger and bigger, bro, more people, more problems, bro.
Bro,
more issues.
I need to share this, bro. I need to share this, bro. Last week, I don't know, my wife, you saw my wife.
Yeah.
So my wife has a gift of dreams. And I'm going to say this being very careful. I'm the husband, bro. I don't dream at all. You know what I mean? Like, I have like one dream a month. And
same.
Dios la usa con los sueños. Algo sobrenatural. Supernatural. And I'm a witness to this because she writes them down. And I've read them. And she'll read it to me. She had a dream. Here it goes. She says, Mijo, I had a dream. Do you remember what I told you about spiritual homeboys? And I said, well, are you talking about spiritual homeboys on Tuesdays? Like, what are you talking about? She goes, no. All the people from over there, from Colab. And I said, okay. She says, the Lord showed me a vision that place was packed. She didn't know there was a church there, bro. She didn't know. She says, I don't know why I keep dreaming these guys. And the place is filled with people. And I said, and we're going to do something with them. Fast forward, we start this podcast, bro. Like, knowing you, seeing the vision, seeing everything plugged in, at the end, I was like, now when she tells me the dream, like yesterday she said, I'm going to share this, bro. She said she had a dream last night that we got kicked out of our house, out of our apartment. And I told her, oh, you know,
hey,
maybe the Lord.
Hey, he starts packing already?
she said getting dream, boxes. Hey, you know, this is going to be weird, right? But she said she had a dream, and in the dream, she was moving stuff to the car. But what I'm saying is that I see this big, Mijo. I see this big, and a lot of people are going to come to Christ, but that's what we want. Yeah. Familias cambiadas, mijo. Domestic violence, out.
Yeah.
Drug abuse, abuse, out. Alcoholism, out. You know what I mean? Start bringing Jesus. The Lord brought you over here. No accident, right?
No, bro. Something I want to say, too. You're talking about the sowing that we do and then the harvest that then comes. For 10 years that I was in Fearless Los Angeles, no prediqué. No era un líder.
Oh, speak on that.
I played bass. I played bass, bro.
And nobody pays attention almost, to the bass players.
Almost every Sunday. I know, bro.
It's like, I know, bro. It's like the least attractive, you know what I mean? Like, the guitarist gets a lot of fame.
No, bro.
The baterista gets a lot of fame, but the bajista? Back,
dude, my whole life I wanted to be a drummer, bro.
My brother played the bajo. I played the guitar, my brother played the bajo in church. And my wife played the drums.
Jeez.
Oh, bro? Yeah, bro. Oh, shit. Hey, Claudia got undercover skills, bro.
What are they?
We just don't talk about it, right? But yeah. We did it for like 8 years, bro, in my mom's church.
What are they?
That's wild, yeah, bro. I'm going to hit you up then. No, but bro, like for 10 years, just faithful to the same thing. And dude, this is what's crazy. You could get bored.
But
it becomes
routine.
Routine.
Yeah.
But I think that's where God tests you. Are you in love with the gift? Or are you in love with me?
You know, that's why I don't speak about it. When I came over here, I didn't talk about nothing, bro. No music, no writing. Bro, I've been writing worship songs for a long time. I put that away because when the Lord brought me here, he told me this, Los, to focus on my family.
You know what's interesting that I've kind of seen about God? He'll show you the gift that you have, and then he'll take it away.
And
to see if he's the gift or if the gift is the gift.
Bro, elaborate on that, please.
He tells Abraham, you're going to be a father of many nations.
Look at that.
He shows Joseph a dream. He tells Noah there's going to be rain. Right?
Before there was no rain. Nobody knew what that was. Yeah.
He tells his son, you're going to redeem everyone. You're going to redeem the whole world. And then, Abraham, 25 years before he had a son. Noah worked for 80 years before the rain. Joseph, 13 years before he saw his dream come to pass. Jesus, 30 years before he started his 3-year ministry, before he lived his 3-hour purpose.
It was like those sprinters, no? The 100 meter sprinters that train for 5 years, or no, 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
To run like, not even
14 seconds, 4 seconds, I would say. Bro, and here we are thinking, 10 years doing the same thing. Oh, gosh. Nah.
How were you able to be obedient and find joy and have the attitude and keep that character throughout those 10 years?
You know what it was? That initial word that God told me. This is your home.
And was there ever a time where you felt like desperate or anxious? Or was there a time like, is this it?
There was a time when we moved to San Diego. After we moved to San Diego. And I was like, yeah,
this is not it.
This ain't it.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't think God brought us here for this. Nah, I don't think this is it. Of course, bro, during the pandemic, you start thinking everything, you know what I mean? Maybe there's other churches out there. Maybe there's something else. Maybe there's, and I've just been playing bass. And maybe that gets tiring, you know? Doing the same thing, but that's where God tests you. But something I've learned of God testing, He doesn't test you to see you fail. He tests you because He knows you can pass. He knows it's in you already, bro. And a lot of us, when we get tested by God, we're like, oh, dang, why me? Why me? But what does it say in the Word? Be joyful when the test comes. Because that produces your endurance, that produces your patience, but that produces your character, which then makes you complete, needing nothing. You know at what point you're complete, needing nothing? When Jesus is all you need. That's the moment that you're complete, needing nothing.
Sheesh.
A lot of us don't reach that point because we don't allow ourselves to go through the testing. We quit. So we don't develop patience, with which patience helps your character. And then with your character, watch this. Your gift may get you to the top. Your character will keep you at the top. That's why we see so many people go up, so many people come down.
Yep.
Porque no tiene el character, bro. We put so much importance of reaching it there. We put so many importance of like, hey, let's get Fearless Estina 500 now. Let's get it to 1,000. Let's get it. And my focus is there. You know what my focus is, bro? Hey, God, give me patience. Give me the character that I need to sustain this, bro. Help me instill a good rhythm with my family so we can make it. What good is it if we see revival happen in San Diego and I lose my wife?
No, pues, bro.
Nada, mijo. Nada.
Yeah.
You know why I said no to coming to this podcast and waiting 2 weeks? Because we already had something on Tuesday. And then we have prayer on Wednesday. And then we have our discipleship on Thursday. And I told my wife, hey, I'm not going to be out 4 days.
Yeah,
good that. Trade.
So, ¿sabes lo que hicimos? This week, we didn't schedule anything Tuesday. Tuesday's for my wife.
That's a W, bro.
Thank you, Amanda.
That's
Amanda,
a W.
Thank you for letting us borrow your husband. Appreciate that.
Mijo, that balance right there is what creates a man of God. That balance. Recognizing that our foundation is our home.
Yeah.
Recognizing that that's our altar at home. And I'm not saying that we're worshiping our family. No, 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 no. We become priests of our homes. We have to show for a long time, all this little process of people might see like an L, but it's a W.
Who's the prophet that was before Samuel?
Nathan?
Was it Nathan?
No. The one that called out David?
No, said before.
The one that had his sons out of order.
Yeah.
Oh.
It started with an E, no?
Yeah, I wanted to
Elias?
Say... I wanted to say Elias, but
no,
I'm not sure.
No, not Elias. I can't remember.
Well, anyways,
yeah.
Let's not forget that this prophet, right?
His kids were
out of order. And what happened? He lost his calling.
Yeah. Well, because he never...
And he died.
Because he never confronted them. He never confronted them.
Never confronted. There's a lot of people in ministry, a lot of people doing life that don't confront what's in their home. That don't confront what's happening. That will say yes to a million things. But you know what? A yes to one thing is a no to 1,000 things.
Hey.
So let's say I would have said yes to this opportunity because let's say my heart was like, dude, I just want to, dude, this is awesome. I could be in a podcast, dude, and so many people. And then people are going to come to Fearless. Let's say that was my heart. I would have said yes right away, right? Not knowing that we could have scheduled this some other day. Say yes, but I say no to my wife. I say no to my kids. I say no to the call. one yes to something, you're saying no to another. What are you saying no to when you say yes to something?
Now, how do you get that discernment to a point where you know what to say yes to and you know what you're saying no to?
For me, it's been knowing what's actually important in my life. So for me, I know it's my relationship with God, and it's my relationship with my wife, and it's us as a family. Those are non-negotiables with me. So it's always checking. And what's funny, bro, is I could have asked Amanda, hey, could I be in this podcast? And I know she would have said, yeah, go ahead. But I also know, what's the goal in my mind? My goal is that 50 years from now, we love each other more than ever. Me saying, me not even bringing it up to her, and me saying, hey, could we move it in, or could we like figure it out? I can't do that day. I could maybe do this day and this day. Me saying that was me honoring her.
100%. It's a W, bro.
Yeah. So who do we honor? First is I honor God. I honor my wife. I honor my kids.
Let's just say that God, we know God's present. Let's just say, hypothetical, that he was there with you. And you say, hey, Dad, should I go to this podcast or should I spend time with my wife? If I'm going to go with my wife, he would have been like, buena decisión, mijo.
Yeah. Oh, to go, my boy.
Can I tell you guys something también? Yeah. Today, I was taking, Amanda had a couple meetings, so I stayed home with our 11th month old. And I was with him, he told him, he went to sleep.
Such a cute baby, though, too.
That's it, bro. Yeah.
I've seen a man kid, bro. He's out there. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, dude, I'm gonna catch up on one of my shows. You know what I mean? So I was me, though, like, dude, I'm gonna catch up on one of my shows. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, no, spend time with me. So then I said, okay, cool. I'm preaching this Sunday. I'll study. You know what I mean? I'll spend time with God. I'll study. And then I felt the Holy Spirit say, no, no, no. Spend time with me. It's like, bro, I got to study. No, spend time with me. Okay. Just started praying in the Spirit. Just started spending time with God. And then today, things start happening. Things start shaking. It could have shooken us as a family. We were getting calls, texts, yes, esto pasó, and oh my gosh, what the heck's happening? You know what I mean? God knows. God knows what's ahead. And if I'm in the presence of God, I'll be proactive. If I'm not in the presence of God, I'll be reactive.
Ooh. Bars.
So my goal is to be in the presence of God so that when things come my way, I could keep Jesus as my constant. See, no, things happen. God, and then I run to God after I've already acted out on my flesh.
You know, something that I learned was that the word responsibility is two words. It has the ability to respond, right? So that being said, I think it's prioritizing our time, right? And our energy. So, God, the Holy Spirit tells you, hey, spend time with me because I know what you're going to need.
Yeah, that's it.
Because I want you to be responsible. I want you to have the ability to respond. So, just piggybacking on what you just said.
Well, you can't ignore it. You cannot ignore the Holy Spirit waking you up. You can't ignore the Holy Spirit convicting you. Something you did the day before or day after, you know what I mean? The Holy Spirit is convicting you. Our response, man, today I got hit up with not my drama, somebody else's drama. And I said, hey, man, you have.
Say it.
Hey, come on. Come on, so we can pray.
That's funny,
and,
bro.
And the whole thing, it's a marriage issue, but I said, hey, man, you can't change her. Let the Holy Spirit do it.
Yeah.
You sow that seed in her, just sow a seed of love. patience, and she's gonna follow.
Man, I'm tired of words, bro.
We need examples, bro.
That part.
Well, check this out. I'm tired of words. So I was part of a church. I'm not gonna throw it out there. Some people know already. But hey, I'm part of Fearless now. And then Real Comunidad, whenever I can tap in, you know. But I was getting too involved with this church, and they were very demanding and serving. Like, if you wouldn't show up, it was like...
disciplina.
Yeah, like, nos dejaste abajo. Like, you're a chavala, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%, bro.
You get mad dogged.
And then I started having a lot of issues with my wife because I would be like... Hey, God first. I'll tell my wife all the time, well, I have to serve God first. I mean,
God you would first. Actually literally say that to
her? Yeah, bro. I would.
No te pegó con la plancha.
Well, almost. And
them fighting words, huh?
Yeah.
And then one time, bro, God told me this, yo. It's like, don't worry about my wife. Where about your wife? Because I'm going to take care of mine. You take care of yours.
La iglesia, su esposa.
Ooh, bro, when it convicted me hard. So that's why now I haven't gotten involved, like, in serving yet because we're not there yet as a couple, you know what I'm saying? But at the same token, it's like God put people in my life that is just like, it's been such a blessing because I said no to that ministry. Because she even told me, like, I think you need to stop serving there. And this is like right after God told me what he told me, right? And I said, okay, yeah, it's time to drop it. So I did. And then Rai, which we still have to connect you guys.
Bro, you love this brother, bro. You love this brother.
I meet him, super, super. I mean, it's like a version of you, but the Spanish church part. And then you come around, bro, and it's like, and then you guys are hitting me up. Hey, ¿cómo estás, bro? Hey, let's go get some coffee. Hey, and I'm like, yo, these dudes are pastors, man, and they're hitting me up like. And then the other pastor was like, oh, if you're not down, you can't sit on my table type of thing.
Sheesh.
So it was like, whoa, that's mind-blowing.
That's a scary thought, right? As a pastor, like, to people to be on that level. Bro, so you came down from Los Angeles. Did you have plugs, bro, here in San Diego?
None. You know what's crazy? I have such a passion for discipleship because when I moved down, I was like, all right, let's start this church. Let's figure it out. Going to different coffee shops, trying to meet people, trying to see, like, who's the right connection.
You started in coffee shops, going to coffee shops?
I just started going, like, because I love coffee, right?
Right, right.
So I just started going to coffee shops and looking through, like, man, who's the dopest looking dude here? Let me see if I could just talk to him, see what he's all about. And then God told me something. He said, how can I give you more if you don't take care of what I've already given you?
Okay.
So three dudes moved down. Chris, El Dylan, and this other dude called Kadu.
Oh, shout out to Kadu.
I haven't met him.
Shout out to Kadu.
Kadu. So, esos tres, bro.
Okay.
I was out trying to figure it out. And then with that word, I was like, what am I doing? Aquí me mando tres. Hey, if you don't take care of what I've given you, how can I give you more? So then I just started hanging out with them.
I started learning
how to do life and how to disciple people just by being around them, just by, hey, hearing their heart, just by hurting them and asking them to forgive me. You know what I mean? Like just by doing life. And then all of a sudden, people start showing up at our house. Word of mouth. That grew to 25, almost 30 people. And then all of a sudden, dude, we got to, like, go somewhere else. But we had no connection. Everything has been God.
And then speak about the fact that you were living on your savings, bro, and all of a sudden God started pouring all of those needs, right? Because I love the Lord's Prayer. I literally go through the Lord's Prayer every day, and not as a como recitarlo, you know, not as a repetitive, but as a
reminder,
as a layout, as a structure, right? Because we praise Him for who He is, where He's at. We pray for His Espíritu Santo. By the way, thanks for rocking the shirt too. You know what I mean?
Fire. Where's the
our brother supporting the merch. We ask for His will to be done. Right. And then we ask for como se dice, for His provision. For the daily bread, right? We ask for His provision every day. How did He provide it without, like, you not, like, living off of your savings, bro? How crazy is that?
Okay. So going back to, like, how I ended up being in this role. There for 10 years, ¿verdad? And then our lead pastors and our associate pastor came up to me. They're like, hey, we want you to start the next campus. I was like, yo, cap, bro. Holy, esto de donde? Like, what?
You want me to show people base? Like, bro, what do you want me to do?
Okay. Like, how, bro? And so then I was like, oh, bad, bro. And I was about to say, like, nah. And he was like, hey, but just, you know, think about it. We're going to have a meeting in, like, 3 days. No pude dormir esos 3 days, bro.
Nada. Never.
Nada. And I've slept through kids crying, bro. I could sleep, bro. I could sleep through flights. I have the gift of sleep, bro.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, what's going on, bro? Like, what's happening? And I was in this mode of like, so I was working a really good job. I was a building manager también. So I was getting free rent, like right by downtown Los Angeles.
Free rent in LA.
I was also doing like side jobs here and there, bro.
Are they still trying to fill your position?
De bajista? De bajar las cosas?
Hey, that's... So where you going with that?
Me and my wife were like in this thing. I'm like, bro, we're going to buy properties. We're going to build a legacy for our family. And so I couldn't sleep. And I was like, oh, God, what's happening? Oh, like, are you trying to tell me to do this? Like, this feels so backwards. Like I feel so secure here, you know? And I felt God say, there's two ways to build a legacy. You can build it yourself, and your generation will, like, and your kids will profit from it. Or you allow me to build a legacy through you, and it'll be from generation to generation to generation to generation. So you tell me, do you want a legacy that lasts, or a legacy that your kids will see?
Wow.
Okay. Yes, se hizo, ¿verdad? Another thing God told me is, hey, from now on, I'm going to take you on a journey where you're going to make your decisions based off faith, not on finances. Okay, yes, se hizo. All right, boom. Yes, put in all my, like, ¿cómo se llama?
Two weeks,
my two-month notice. Okay, and then we move down. We're like, yo, what's the move? Where's that legacy? You know what I mean? Where are those riches that my kids and my kids' kids?
No strategy.
No strategy.
With your team, like,
no strategy.
Move to Encinitas and.
No.
Encinitas.
We just moved.
Rancho Santa Fe.
You was crazy, bro. We moved, and then our lead pastors went on a sabbatical.
Oh, man.
So no phone calls, no nothing.
So, bro, talk about feeling lonely in the season, okay. Right?
What year was that?
Two? Whoa, wait, what day is it today? Wow. July 1st was 2 years.
So it's an anniversary today?
Is today July 1st?
Yeah.
It is, bro.
Whoa. 2 years today, woo! Bro.
God is 2 years so today, good, bro. God is so moved. Good, man.
Bro, you know what's tripping me out? That you told, I heard, or maybe you told me, that you guys served free food for a year.
Yeah. Now it's been a year and a half. Now it's been a year and a half. And the church has only been going out for 8 months.
Y lo que falta, mijo.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just the beginning, bro.
And you got a team already?
Yeah.
Christian on the coffee shop?
Right.
He gets down with that black sheep, baby.
Let me ask you this. When you show up on Sunday.
Shout out to a friend.
And when you show up on Sunday, does Chris got your coffee ready or what?
Oh, bro. Yeah.
Mijo, you're hooking him up. Double shot.
Bro, I text Chris. I'm like, yo, Chris.
That's just rude, bro. That's
no, I'm always showing up like after the
So when I show up, you're going to preach this Sunday?
Yeah.
Bro, if this invitation doesn't happen, I got to go to Tijuana. I might share. But if it doesn't happen, I'll be there, bro.
All right, yes, Iso.
Hey, you gotta keep your word now, eh?
I know, mijo. No, I'm saying if the other, which I think it might not happen, but yeah.
Let's go.
So you served the food for a year.
Yeah.
Just serving the community.
Community. Because a motto that we have at Fearless, something we live with, is love people until they ask why.
Love
people until they ask why.
Wow.
So we love to show love. We love to show God before we preach God.
That part.
100%, bro.
100%. Bro, have you ever heard of Miles Monroe?
Oh, yeah, bro.
That man changed my life, yo. Because he made me see the details in Jesus' ministry. Jesus never told the multitudes who he was.
Better get coffee ready,
Chris.
He
never preached on being born again. He never preached on him, on his crucifixion and resurrection. He never preached on him being the truth, the life, and the way. What you just said, bro. Even the way he discipled, you know, he literally just told these men, follow me.
Bro, para que Juan duerma en su pecho. Juan, John, to sleep on Jesus' chest. The friendship that was there. Bro, you ain't gonna sleep on Los' chest, bro.
Well, Chris might, though. Yeah. Chris.
I'll sleep on Chris's chest.
What I'm saying is,
I might sleep on your chest. It looks comfy. Lose, I don't know, man. There's not.
I'm trying.
But you know what? But you think about it, right? Think about cómo Juan tenía la confianza con Jesús.